Blog Talk Radio.
Appreciative for you, you, and you. It is I, your host, Reverend Willie J. Vann Jr., bringing you greetings from the nation's capital, where here in Washington, D.C., the Northeast Corridor of Washington, D.C., and we are so grateful that you have decided to join us here at Reconciliation Ministries in partnership with the Omega Ministry Group. We thank God for each and every one of you all. We thank God for the work that went on today, as it is Inauguration Day, the inauguration of our 46th president, Joe Biden, and Vice President Kamala Harris. We are excited. We are grateful. We are so filled with emotions on today of all that has gone on and all that is still going on. We understand the fact that we must continue to do the work that God has called us to do. And we just, again, just want to thank each and every one of you all for joining us. Well, you understand and we understand that before we can do anything, we understand the power of prayer. We are so excited that we have a God that can hear us and that knows us and that we can talk to. So without further ado, let us go to the throne of grace. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for what you've done in our lives. We are so appreciative for, again, the grace, the mercy that you have given to us. Lord God, we ask that you continue to abide with us. We thank you, Lord God, for the grace and mercy, and but most of all, for your love. We understand that it is your love that has sustained us. It is your love that keeps us. So, Lord God, we just say thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for our new administration on today. We thank you, Lord God, for who they are and what they represent. We understand, Lord God, that it is you who work in their lives and work in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for our new president, for our new vice president, for all of those who are the new senators and Congress people. We thank you for their wanting to do your will and serve the people. Lord God, we ask that you have mercy and grace in their lives. And Lord God, that we pray that they will continue to bring together this nation as they spoke about today, all united. Nation. We thank you, Lord God. We ask that you continue to abide with all of us. Lord God, thank you for this lesson plan tonight. We pray that we will learn something and learn more about you, that we will bless your name, and that we will have a better relationship with you. Lord God, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, again, we are so grateful. We thank God for the leaders of Omega Ministry Group, the good Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and his wife, Tammy Storr. We thank you for their willingness to share their platform with me and with others. As always, this is about participatory. This is about us sharing together and coming together. It's not just one person, just not me. But if you have a question or a comment, you can press 1 on your phone, and we can invite you in. For those who want to be concerned, we understand that everyone is muted, so you are okay. But if you have a question or comment, you can press 1 and I will be able to recognize you. And then for those who might be listening to this on a rebroadcast, we ask that you would send me an email. that you would share and comment. We will be able to respond to your email. Well, tonight, we want to read to your hearing Psalm 142, only seven verses in this psalm. If you have a study Bible, a good study Bible, you will see that the theme of this psalm is a prayer when overwhelming when you are overwhelmed and desperate, when you're feeling attacked by your enemies, only God can keep us safe. We know that the author of this psalm and most of the psalms are David. So this is David, not when he is King David. He was anointed king, but he had not taken the place of being a king. That King Saul was still, Israel was still under King Saul's rulership. But this is the psalm that David writes. I'm going to read the NIV translation, and then I'm going to read the New Century version. The NIV translation, again, of Psalm 142, verses 1 through 7 reads, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who knows my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. Verse 5, I cry to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who persecute me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. I'm going to read the New Century Translation, or New Century Version, rather, of that same Psalm 142. I cry out to the Lord. I pray to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my problems to him. I tell him my troubles. When I am afraid, you, Lord, know the way out. In the path where I walk, a trap is hidden for me. Look around me and see. No one cares about me. I have no place of safety. No one cares if I live. Lord, cry out to you. I say, you are my protection. You are all I want in this life. Listen to my cry, because I am helpless. Save me from those who are chasing me, because they are too strong for me. Free me from my prison, and then I will praise your name. Then good people will surround me, because you have taken care of me. Again, I read unto your hearing Psalm 142. Here we find David is on the run from King Saul. We know that during this time, David has been anointed king, the second king of Israel, by the prophet Samuel. He to see King Saul, who is now the king. And at first, He could calm Saul's spirit. He could do and be of an ally for King Saul. Then King Saul gets upset. He gets jealous. Then he finds himself deciding that he wants to continue on to be the king. And then as he continues to want to be the king, he is not ready to give up the throne. Well, before we go too far, doesn't that sound like our former president, Donald J. Trump, that he, for the last several months, was voted. We had an election, presidential election, and the people chose a new president, but he was not happy with the results. Trump decided that, hey, I want to stay the president. I don't want to give up this power. I don't want to give up this authority. And I'm going to do everything I possibly can to reserve, to hold off, and for the transfer of power. You got to realize and understand that even when God has called you to a specific role or responsibility or position, there is nothing, no one, or anything that anyone or anything can stop you from fulfilling that position. I mean, even when you look at it, there are times that God has given you your destiny, has given you a sneak preview of what you are to do or who you are to become. And even if you decide that you don't want to do that, we find ourselves always back in the position, yielding to God, where we find ourselves doing exactly what God had called us to do. It's that old saying, what is for me is for me. I'm called to do is for me to do. I learned a long time ago, my brothers and sisters, to not get upset nor get jealous of anyone else's position or anyone else's gifts or talents, but to understand that what God blessed me with is for me to use, and what God blessed someone else to use is for them to use. I can't get upset because God put them in a position. Only thing I can do is ask God, what is your will for my life? Here we find ourselves with David encamped in a cave because he's on the run from King Saul. He's on the run. And because people are looking for him and want to murder him, all because King Saul does not want to give up the throne, does not want to give up his power. That's a great lesson for us to realize, that we have to realize that what God has called us to do, it might not be your only job. Oh, you don't understand what I mean? Let's take it and use a parable to explain. You can start a job and you can be the supervisor. And after a certain period of time, there comes a time where someone else will come and you might have trained them, or the company has brought in somebody else to take over your job. Now, you have two ways of reacting. You can cuss and fuss and say, I'm not teaching no one else and I'm not dealing with this. Or you can go ahead and allow them to perform and be in the position that you once was in and ask God, what is it that he has for you next? I've learned and seen in my life, just because you were called to be the pastor or the leader of a church does not necessarily mean that you have to die in that position. Meaning that after a certain time, and you can move out of that position and let someone younger, someone who might have, who God is using to bring about fresh and innovative ideas in order to move the kingdom of God further, or to allow the kingdom of God to grow even more. Who are you to get upset, to trip out, because God is now ready to use somebody else? And what I find amazing is that when we were in a position, we want everybody to respect us. We want everybody to go along with us. We want everybody to ride or die with us. But now that we're no longer in that position, we want to be the ones that will bring about defiance. We now want to have an attitude. We now want to bring discord in the organization. Just because God has you doing a specific work now doesn't mean that you'll be doing that work forever. We need to get to the place where we realize that whatever God has for us to do, wherever he wants us to work, we have to be obedient in that work. We have to be ready and prepared to do the new task. I mean, just even think about David. David was the youngest of his father's children. He was a shepherd, and now he has been anointed king. I know there's probably sometimes that he thought, you know what, I would rather have been stayed out and been a shepherd, because I can only imagine what it's like to be the king. We got to get to the place, my brothers and sisters, where we realize that God wants us to be totally obedient to his will and to his way. And I can only say that because there have been times in my life where I have held a position and I thought, you know what? I'm good. I'm all right. I'm going to hold this and do this until I can no longer do this, until God calls me home. And God said, that's not so. God told me, no, I have more work for you to do. Matter of fact, I don't just have more work, but I got different work for you to do. And we got to get to the place where we are doing exactly where what he wants us to do, to go exactly where he wants us to go. We're going to take a brief pause right here. And I want you to go get some water, go get some juice, and we'll be right back.
give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell them, here I am,
here I am.
Come on, tell him one more time.
I
Amen. That's right. That's what we got to do. We got to give ourselves away to the will and the Spirit of God to allow him to do whatever he wants to do. So here we go. We have David on the run from Saul, all because David has been named or has been anointed as the new king. And King Saul does not want to give up his throne. So David is now has this prayer, and he's asking God for assistance. When we find ourselves in times of problems or trouble, what we need to do is stand still and ask our Father for help. We need to ask God and say, God, I don't know what to do. I need help. Now, I will tell you that this is a issue of concern, something that I even struggle with sometimes because of my size, because of my connections, because of who I am. But every time I go through this whole list of things that I could do, I always end up messing it up, and I always find myself going back to God saying, God, I done tried everything else. Now let me try you. I would challenge you in your life. You have tried everything. You tried your own intellect. You tried your own money source. You try family and friends, your status, your position. But why don't you try God? Why don't you find yourself asking God for assistance? Here again in Psalm 142, at verse 3, the New Century Version, it says, When I am afraid, you, Lord, know the way out in the path where I walk. A trap is hidden for me. Look around me and see. No one cares about me. I have no place of safety. No one cares if I live. And here it is, verse 5. Lord, I cry out to you. I say you are my protection. You are all I want in this life. Listen to my cry because I am helpless. Save me from those who are chasing me because they are too strong for me. Free me from my prison, and then I will praise your name. Then good people will surround me because you have taken care of me. That's all God wants us to do. Just like any good father, he wants to be there to bless us. Have you ever had a situation where you went out and you did something and something happened? You might have dented the car, or you might have broke a glass to somebody's house. And instead of you coming to your parents, you try to hide it, or you try to do it yourself, or you try to take care of it yourself. And then normally your parents will find out, and then they come back and they say, well, why didn't you tell me? That's what I'm here for. I'm here to better the quality of your life. I'm here to assist you. I'm here to make sure that you don't bump your head and hurt yourself. That's all God wants to be for us. Or that's one of the attributes that God wants to be. God wants us to be able to come to him, not as the last alternative, but as the first choice. He wants us to be able to come to him and ask him and say, Father, I know what you called me to do. I know where you called me to go, and I really don't know how to get there, and I really don't know what to do to get there or once I'm there. But I know because you have set me on this path, I need to come to you and ask for help. I mean, isn't that amazing to know that we have a Father who loves us and who will reach out and bless us? I would challenge you that the next time you find yourself in a place of discomfort or a place of disease, the next time when you find yourself where you don't know which way to go, I will challenge you, go back and read this psalm, read Psalm 142. And then if you have enough time, go and read Psalm 143. I think we might be going there next week, if that's the Lord's will. But you can read 142, and at the end of 142, again, he says, and this is the NIV translation, set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Have you ever found out or been in a situation where you reached out to God, and because it was him who's the one who gave you your release, gave you your security, gave you your protection, that he ended up using other people around you to bring about your protection? I mean, it's a wonderful thing to know that you thought you were all by yourself, and then God surrounds you with people. He surrounds you with things that will bring about security, that will bring about a place of peace. I mean, here, David is on the run. He knows that this king is trying to kill him, and he feels that his life is, you know, is in a tailspin. He didn't ask for this. He didn't ask to be anointed as the new king. He didn't ask to be on the run. But he had enough sense to come to a place and ask God for assistance. And then once he asked God for assistance, God blessed him and gave him what he needed. And not only gave him what he needed, but allowed him to be surrounded, poured into him, that protected him, that gave him safety. All I'm trying to say, my brothers and sisters, again, is that we have to make God our first choice, and not the other choice. And then once we go to him and ask him and express to him, then he will bless us. Things that I sincerely love about David in this psalm is that he's so real. I mean, he's not coming up with a whole lot of fancy words, and he's not trying to be all deep. He just comes and say, God, you know what? I need to be released. I need you to protect me. I need you to come and save me. I need you to come and help me. No one else cares about me. No one else loves me. Nobody else wants to help me out. And I realize that it's not about them. because ultimately they can't really help me, but you can. God, you are the only one who can really bring about protection. You are the only one that can really bring about love and affection and safety. And when you had that real conversation with God, I don't know about you, but for me, I see that he seems to answer that much more. That there's something about us being sincere that, you know, I used to, as a child, I used to hear my grandfather and my grandmother, but predominantly my grandfather and some of the other deacons would repeat some of the prayers, and they would say the same prayers over and over every week. But it was something about when they were going through. It was something about when there was drama or conflict or something that just didn't seem right, that they would start calling out to God in a different way. They would start talking to the Father differently. And so I learned at a young age that's the way I ought to talk to God. I shouldn't just come with any form or fashion. Yes, I should come respectfully and humbly, come as a child to his Father. So we see that David calls out to God. And again, in the last verse, verse number 7, free me from my prison, and then I will praise your name. Then good people will surround me because you have taken care of me. Again, I can't express this enough. There's something about the fact that God will use others to bless you. That's why I say to everybody, and I, one of my messages is that we are blessed to be a blessing. We never know how just one small kind act or one small statement or gesture can encourage, can assist, can help, can bring about security, can bring about protection. You never know how God might be using you. And yeah, sometimes it might be a sacrifice, but I've never seen a sacrifice that God didn't meet it. I've never seen a time where he didn't bless me because I made a sacrifice to him. That he not only just blessed me, but he even gave me an increase. So as we go about this day, I want to challenge you. When you find yourselves feeling overwhelmed, feeling desperate, feeling like you are being overtaken by your enemies, I want you to sit still and reach out to your Father and call out to him and ask him to come and bless you and protect you and be your safety net. Don't let him be the last choice. Let him be your first choice. I know you think you got it on, you got it going on, but allow him and watch how he works in your life. Father God, we are so appreciative for this word this evening. We thank you for the example of the life of David. Even while on the run, Lord God, there were times that he felt that he was being overwhelmed and that he just felt like he couldn't take it no more. I thank you, Lord God, for the example that he set, that he sits and says that I need to talk to you. I need to reach out to my Father. And God, you are the one who will protect me. You are the one that will guide me. You are the one that will lead me and bless me. And I thank you, Father, for being the wonderful God you are and providing a way out of no way. Pray, Lord God, that even today, as we have the inauguration of a new president and vice president, a new administration, allow the United States to be in this posture, that we will pray to you, that we will reach out to you, that we will ask you to come and get us out of this hole, get us out of this place of insecurity, get us out of this place of drama, and place us on solid ground once again. We thank you, Lord God. We give you honor and praise in the name of your Son, who is our Savior. His name is Jesus the Christ. We say amen, amen, and amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, again, we are so grateful. We always want to leave a couple of minutes. If you have a question or comment, you can press 1 on your phone, and I'll be able to unmute your mic, question or comment. We just want to always thank God for each and every one of you all who show up, and we are so grateful. We ask you to please come back on Blog Talk Radio. On Monday nights, you can hear that of the good Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and his wife, Tammy Storr, every Monday night at 8 o'clock, from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And then from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, Minister Leah Killings. We thank God for her and how God uses her. Then it's yours truly, Willie J. Van Jr., every Wednesday night from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And then our newest member, the Elder Jason Felix, from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. We thank him, thank God for him and his willingness to be used of God to share his word. Then on Thursday nights from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, Bishop George Flint. And then on Sundays from 6 to 7, we have Minister, his name just escaped me just that fast. I'm sorry. Wow, I'm having a brain lock. Help me, Holy Ghost. 6 o'clock on Sundays. Oh, man, I'm having a brain lock. I'm about to say George Flint, but it's not George. Amos Joseph Collins. There we go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I apologize. Minister Joseph Amos Collins every Sunday night. Again, we ask that you would call back in at 9 o'clock for Elder Jason Felix, mighty man of God. He has a blessed word for you. As always, we're going to go out on this song. We just pray that, again, whenever you find yourself in issues or something, why don't you just give it all to God? Trust me, he's the only one. Truly, he's the only one that can handle it all. As always, peace and love, Willie J. Van Jr.
And the There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me with your heart. Child that will give him their own, give it all.